Highest praise. We worship His Majesty, number 32. Majesty, worship His Majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, power, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority, flow from His throne unto His horn, His anthem raise. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship His Majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Majesty, worship His Majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, power, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority, flow from His throne unto His horn, His anthem raise. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship His Majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Good morning. On another glorious day, November the 7th, it is going to be a beautiful one, and we thank the Lord for that. Good to see you all here. The only disappointment of today is the two baptisms we were supposed to have are pushed back to next Sunday. There was some illness in the family, the immediate family, so they asked if we could postpone it a week, and we are. So come back again next Sunday. Today is an exciting day as well. So just some announcements to go over before we go on with the service. December is our church's turn to deliver Meals on Wheels. There's a calendar on the bulletin board there in the narthex, so if you can help with that, please sign your name and the dates that you're willing to take. It's a great blessing. If you've never done it, it's just puts a smile on your face when you go knock on the doors and give them their lunch. Everyone's so appreciative, as long as you don't forget that it's your day to do it, which has happened. This afternoon, we are having a prayer service at the Care Center here. The ministerial is hosting it. We were asked about 3 weeks ago if we would do this again, just to pray God's blessings on our care center. And so if you're on the prayer chain, you know that that went out Wednesday. And I immediately had a text, what's wrong at the care center? And so then you saw the follow-up text, all is well. And then Thursday morning came the phone call, well, there's some COVID cases in the care center. So it's a good thing we're having this and doing this. A year ago, November was a rough time for our care center. We pray that things are contained, that we don't experience what we did then. But please, it's going to be a beautiful day, 2 o'clock. Just come to the front of the care center And we will have a time of prayer as we did last year, which was wonderful to do and wonderful for our community to do. Christmas program, I know it's hard to think about that already, but we start the last Sunday of this month, first practices. So there's sign-up sheets out there in the narthex along the west wall for items that are needed for the lunches that we have. Soup Kitchen is the first Saturday in December. There's a table of sign-up sheets there. Men, there is one specific page for us of items that we can bring. So look at that. There's also a sign-up sheet for our kids in 4th through 8th grade to try and have them help with picking up trays and various things on the table. So parents, if you want to take a look at that and sign them up. I know there is also a tournament that day here as well, but if it works. Next Sunday evening is our youth rally here, 6:30. It's going to be exciting. We're happy to have it again. It was 2 years ago we did. Yes, it's geared to the youth, but adults can come. We had a great crowd 2 years ago, so hopefully we have that again. Be praying for that. Let me see. Veterans Day. I believe it's the National Honor Society that's doing a program in the new gym this Thursday at 2 o'clock for veterans, and it's open to the community. So put that on your calendar. And on that note, I'd like to ask our veterans and active military to stand. Those that are here today, we have a lot of you in our congregation. So let's stand. Please. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, and God bless you always, always for your service to this nation. It is greatly appreciated. In the social hall, there is a little display there. It's a prisoner of war /missing in action remembrance. You have the reading about it in the insert in your bulletin. So take a look at that. Talk to your kids about it. Usually I bring the confirmation class out there. I'll have to do that this coming Wednesday. On the back of that is just a beautiful prayer for the nation as well. So you can take that and use that in your prayer time. The rest of the announcements, I will let you read through as you have time. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you. We come before your throne through the blood of Jesus Christ. For we know that in ourselves, your word says, dwells no good thing. And that in our own selves, our own righteousness, our self-righteousness is as filthy rags. But Father, we know the greatest news of all is you have clothed us in the righteousness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so it is through that and through his blood that we come before your throne to worship you this day, most of all to praise you for your goodness. We come, Lord God, to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in times of need. The needs are many and they are great. Even in our communities here of Menno and Olivet and the surrounding region, not to speak of the nation and the world, and you are aware of them all. Father, I ask that if there's a need here this morning of a physical touch, healing, maybe a spiritual need in someone's life, maybe an emotional need, whatever it might be, that as you fill this place with your presence and your glory, as you move among us, that you touch each of our lives by the power of your Spirit. We thank you for it, for you are a holy God, and we humble ourselves before you and under your mighty hand to worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you for your wonderful presence here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's stand together. Our opening hymn is number 3, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Early in the morning, our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting down That's such a beautiful hymn. I love that one. Well, take a moment, greet those around you before you're seated. All right, we'll have our sharing of joys and concerns here. Just a couple things that I have. Continued prayers for Jeff Nuss. He had his knee replacement surgery on Monday and came through it very well. Trinity Kasurik is home recovering and doing well after her surgery. Awesome. On Wednesday, prayers for Marilee Houck's daughter, Glenda. She's up in the hospital, I believe it's Sanford. She, you know, it was about 3 weeks ago, I'd say, when she fell and broke her hip, and they did a surgery, not a complete replacement, but however they did it. Anyway, one of the screws came out, and which was very painful, so they had to redo the surgery this last week. Friday, I guess that was. So be praying for her. She's had a lot of pain, and even following yet so far. Otherwise, Marlon Holsworth, how's things going there?
The surgery went very well, and he's recovering and hopefully coming home this week.
Okay. All right. Wonderful. Kevin's dad, Marlon, had a heart surgery at Mayo Clinic this last week and said it went well, and hopefully will come home this next week sometime. As I said about the care center, prayers for that. Let's see, I saw Ann during Sunday school, Schultz, but I don't know if they're here, but might have to give them a call today. Today is their 40th wedding anniversary, so congratulations to them. Anything else over here? Kaylee. Yes, Ronnie Derby had a birthday yesterday. Happy birthday to you. Okay, in the sound booth, Joni. Okay, sorry to hear that. Jake Law, he works for Justin and Joni Hondel, and he usually sits about right up here. Some health issues they're trying to figure out and had to spend the night in the hospital last night. Okay. Over here. Okay. Let's bow our heads. Father, again, thank you for a beautiful day. Thank you for a beautiful sanctuary where we can come together and worship you as the family of God, where we can share our joys and our prayer concerns. I do lift up Jake, Lord, before your throne. You know exactly what's going on in his body. So we lift him before you in prayer, and we ask you for your healing power throughout his body. We pray for the doctors who are and nurses who are working with them. We ask for wisdom there in regard to the tests that they are running. And thank you for treatment to be decided upon. Just renew his strength, and we pray that you'd fill that room with your wonderful presence. We pray the same for Glenda Walker and Mary Lee as she's up there with her during a difficult time that Glenda has been having. Lord, your grace is more than enough. You said that to the Apostle Paul when he called out to you and asked for that thorn in the flesh to be removed. 3 times, your word says, and you said to him, my grace is sufficient. For when you are weak, then you are strong. And I pray for strength for Glenda and Marilee through this time. These others that are recovering from surgeries as well, Jeff Nuss and Trinity Kasurik and Marlon Holsworth. Lord, we lift them all to you. Thank you for what medical science is able to do. We pray, Lord, here over our care center, and as we will pray more focused this afternoon, just be with all that work there and all that live there through a challenging time again right now, Lord. We ask for your healing touch. We ask for you to breathe the breath of life from the Spirit of the living God through our facility to clear that virus out of there in Jesus' name. Father, we say thank you for our veterans. Those that are here, there's many that aren't. We thank you for those that serve actively in the guards. This weekend, a lot of them have guards. Those that serve full-time, we have a whole list of them in our bulletin. Thank you for each and every one of them. You know them by name. We ask for your protection upon them and the guidance to our leaders, to our military leaders, Father, in decisions that are made, not even in our country, but around the world with other countries. Thank you, Father, for blessing Fred and Ann Schultz today on their 40th wedding anniversary. We hope they can do something fun together. Lord, for anything else that may have been mentioned, I thank you for blessing these individuals. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians 3:20 and 21 say this, now unto him, that's God, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ever ask or imagine. Think about that. That's pretty incredible. According to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let's stand and we'll sing the doxology, please.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Yes, Father, we do praise you. As we bring our offerings, our tithes before you as an act of worship, fathers would place them in that box. It's so much more than just dropping money in a box. It's sowing seed into your kingdom. It's being obedient to your word. It's with thankful hearts, rejoicing in your goodness and your blessings that you pour out upon us in such incredible ways. Father, it's the blessing of living where we live in this world. We are truly blessed, and we are grateful, even for the strength to be able to go to work. Father, most of all, we say to you, thanks be to God for your indescribable gift, and that is Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. In his name we pray. And Father, we confess our faith together now through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the one holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The children would come, please, for the Kingdom Kids time.
Good morning, boys and girls. How are you all doing? Doing good? Good. We got a couple more coming. Well, today we're going to talk about things that are impossible. Can you think of something that's impossible to do? It's impossible to hold an elephant. That is true. What? It's impossible to not sin. That is a good one, too. Take down God. It's impossible to take down God. Pick up a pickup truck. You guys are great. It's impossible to run 1,000,000 miles per hour. Those are all great things that are impossible. I got a couple more, too, since you added some great ones. Do you know that it's impossible to lick your elbow? Try it. Lick your elbow. No, all the way on the end of the elbow. Anybody do it? I don't know. I tried too, but it didn't work either. See, it's impossible, right? How about, you said something about an elephant. It's impossible for an elephant to fit in a car. So there are definitely things that are impossible, right? But did you know sometimes impossible things are possible? Sometimes impossible things happen. Like take, for instance, my picture of these, what kind of bees? Bumblebees. You know that a bumblebee is very, very heavy and big, but its wings are really small and tiny. In fact, when you look at the bumblebee, you'll think, how could it even fly? How can it fly? Because something that looks impossible is possible. They fly all over the place, right? And we try to get away from them because we don't want to get stung, right? Well, do you think that the bumblebee thinks, I can't do that, I can't fly because it's impossible? No, right? No. And when we look at chapter 1, verse 37, it says, for nothing will be impossible with God. And in this scripture, God was talking about how Mary got with child and how Elizabeth did too in her old age. Nothing is impossible with God. But do you know what, boys and girls? God made the bumblebee, right? God made the bumblebee to fly. It is possible. We have to trust God in things in our life. And Pastor Mike's going to be talking to us today about a man named Gideon. And this is back in the Old Testament in the book of Judges, when once again those Israelites turned away from God. And then do you remember what happens when they turned away from God and started worshiping wrong people? They always got put into captivity, or the enemies would attack them. Well, here was the time an enemy was coming to attack them, the Israelites. In fact, they had to hide. They had to hide, and they had to do their farming so nobody could see, so because the enemy would come and steal it. So here's our Gideon. He's out there like a farmer, and he's taking care of the wheat and hiding. And all of a sudden, an angel of the Lord comes to him, and he says, guess what? God wants to use you. He wants to use you to fight the enemy. Did Gideon think it was possible? No, he didn't. In fact, he said, why me? Why are you picking me? I'm weak. I'm not strong. Our family is not very popular. He said things like that. But with who all things are possible? With who? God. With God. And the story goes on. He'll tell us that God led and strengthened Gideon to fight the enemy and to beat them. And you know what, boys and girls? God is the same God today. He will do impossible things for us, for you. Sometimes you think, oh, this person in my family is really, really sick, and it looked like by the doctor's reports, nothing's going to happen. Who do we trust in? God. God, with God, things are possible through him. Maybe at school, you're not the fastest, or you don't, you know, maybe math is hard, or you just think something's not ever going to work for me. Who should we trust? Because with God, it's possible, right? When we trust in him, when we love him, when we pray to him, talk to him, believe in him, get his word in our lives, he tells us all things are possible with God. So if you're facing something in your life that seems to be really impossible, like it may not ever work out, what should we do? We should trust in God, because what happens with him? All things are possible. That's right. So let's keep trusting him. All right? Let's pray. Father, we worship you. We love you. We thank you so much that it's not us. These things don't have to do with us being the smartest or the bravest or anything. It's all about you, that with you, all things are possible. Thank you for leading us and guiding us and leading these boys and girls in their daily lives, that they spend time talking to you every day. And I pray that wherever they go, their daycare, or they are there at home, or at school, or preschool, that you help them to be all you want them to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, and get your papers.
Thank you, Ann. So we're going to have special music today. Salome Carr, she's a senior here at Menno. And she was going to sing for us next Sunday, but she was willing to flip-flop because of the change with the baptism. So thank you. Ann and I heard her sing this song at the Pops concert a month ago. It's by Lauren Daigle. A lot of you listen to her on the Christian radio. And if this is a person talking to God, you know, their insecurities and who God says we are. So thank you for singing today, Salome. It's all right. Sometimes this happens.
keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know who I'm. You say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I am strong when I think I am weak. And you say
Salome. That was beautiful, wasn't it? Yes. She sings the national anthem often this year at the volleyball matches anyway, she has. So praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, it is all about what you say in your word. what you say we are to do and not to do, what you say about us, how you see us, Lord. We all have thoughts in our minds, as the words say, that sometimes tell us we're not enough, that we'll never measure up, and on it goes. But Lord, that's what we love about you and your word, is you tell us who we are in you and what you have made us to be. And we are so grateful for that, that we can live by faith. Thank you for your word to us today. I ask, Lord, that you would speak through me by the Holy Spirit of God to those gathered here. And I thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Hebrews chapter 11. I just plan to go on this until we get to Advent anyway, which is pretty soon. But we are moving on to verse 32, so I'm going to read verses 32 through 34 of Hebrews chapter 11. The writer says, "And what more shall I say? I do not have time." Boy, I said amen to that right there. I do not have time. That's how I feel every Sunday morning in the sermon. I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. And of course, it even goes on from there, but that's as far as I'm going to read today. The rest of the time will be in Judges with Gideon, as Ann told the kids. I'm just going to read parts of that because, and maybe today or this week sometime, you go through the book of Judges, especially chapter 6 and 7 for sure. That's where you find the entire story of Gideon and how God used him. So all of these weeks, we are in week number 18 to be exact. We've had to skip a couple Sundays here and there. 18 times we've been working through Hebrews chapter 11 to get to this far. Recently, verse 29, we have looked at faith and found God will make a way when you feel trapped, as they were trapped up against the Red Sea and no way out, but God made a way. Then next, verse 30, when you face a mountain, that's when they came up to Jericho. They had no way, naturally speaking, humanly possible, to conquer that city of Jericho, but God made a way. Last Sunday, verse 31, with Rahab, God will make a way when you feel like you have failed. And he did. He used Rahab mightily. She's listed in this great hall of faith, Hebrews 11. She's listed in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. How incredible is that? And today, we're going to pick up here with Gideon. God will make a way when your own strength is not enough. When your own strength is not enough. So verse 32 again, Hebrews 11, the writer's saying, what more shall I say? Well, I've said this long ago. The writer to Hebrews, those were Jewish people. So the understanding was they knew their Old Testament, and they did, and they do. So that's why at times he's just giving little one sentence about these people's lives, and here he's just come to the point. I'm just going to mention some of their names as he was inspired by the Spirit of God. I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets who through faith did all of these things. All right, so first we got to look here, if you're doing your outline, about the judges, because that's who the first four of these names, they were judges there in the Old Testament. There were 12 judges in all. The first one, if you look through, his name is Othniel. Othniel. I thought about Joanne's dad here when I was rereading that. Wasn't his name similar to that, Othniel? Your uncle. Oh, okay, sorry. Had that wrong. Othniel Heish, right? Yes. Maybe it came from there. He was Othniel. Othniel was the first judge. The last one was Samson. So they ruled in Israel after Joshua had died and the elders that were with him. From that point, they ruled in Israel, the 12 of them. So, man, you start looking at commentaries, and the time range of that is all the way from 250 years to 350 to 400 years. Now, there's a place in the book of Acts that speaks of the period of the judges as 450 years, but that number takes into the account of the reigns of King Saul, David, and Solomon. So there you got to take 120 years right off the top of that. So 350-ish years, we'll say, they ruled there in Israel. The problem was that the people of Israel, they'd turn away from the Lord. They'd end up in bondage to an enemy country around them. They'd call out to God, and he would raise up a judge to deliver them. I want to read from chapter 2 a couple verses in Judges that says this: the people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him, who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. After that whole generation had been gathered to their fathers, meaning Joshua, those elders that were with him, after they died, what happens? Sad deal. Very sad. Another generation grew up who neither knew the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. And I've said this before. I've used this passage, the first part, on maybe Confirmation Sunday. I've probably said before, that verse is one, to me, one of the saddest verses in Scripture. Another generation grew up who neither knew the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Was that the kids' fault? Wasn't the kids' fault. It was the parents, the grandparents. Somehow things got sloppy, lax, too comfortable with God's blessings. And so that happens. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and they served the Baals. The Baals, Baal, however you want to say it, that's the false god, false gods of the Canaanites that they believed controlled the weather. So here it was. This was the cycle during those 300, 400 years. They'd follow God for a generation. They'd fall away from God for a generation. They'd get overtaken in captivity. Well, the enemy would just come in and rule over them right there where they were in the promised land. It was what God had promised them all those years. Then it'd get so bad, they'd call out to the Lord. He'd raise up a judge at this time, which Gideon, so Gideon would happen to be the fifth judge in Israel, all right, after Joshua died. In Judges 6, which is where I'll be most of the time, it says this: The power of the Midianites was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. What do you think when you read that about mountain clefts? I think of the cliff dwellers, right? We have them out Cortez, Colorado, the Anasazi, they're called, the Ancient Ones. That to me is just right what was happening here, but over in Israel. They hid from the Midianites because whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, the Amalekites, and other eastern peoples, they invaded the country. They camped on the land of Israel, ruined their crops all the way to Gaza. That's over to Jerusalem. And they did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep, nor cattle, nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count the men and their camels. So they invaded the land to ravage it. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they, here you go, they cried out to the Lord for help. And he's going to deliver them. My question then, my question now, for them, for us, how bad did it have to get? How bad did it have to get then? I mean, they were just destroying them. Think of that. If someone would come and invade after the crops here were planted and probably near harvest time, and all of a sudden an enemy comes in and just ravages it all, takes all the livestock, all the livelihood, that's getting pretty bad, isn't it? But they cried out to the Lord. And so number two in your outline, God answers Israel. He answers Israel, and he is going to call this man named Gideon. He calls Gideon. Back to Hebrews 11 real quick. He's going to tell about Gideon, who through faith, so I don't know that he really conquered kingdom, but what part of those following verses of Hebrews 11 fits with Gideon? I say the part in verse 34 where it says this, whose weakness was turned to strength. And we're going to see that. And who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. That's Gideon. So when the angel of the Lord appears to him in Judges 6, he says, Gideon, in NIV, he calls him you mighty warrior. In New King James, he says, you mighty man of valor. And Gideon's probably looking like, who are you talking to? That's not me, right? Chapter 6, verse 11. The angel of the Lord. Now, King James, ESV, you got a capital A for angel. That means that is who? That is Jesus Christ in his pre-incarnate form. Before he was born in Bethlehem, this is Jesus. We've seen him several times when he appeared to Joshua before Jericho. Jesus, the angel of the Lord, the commander of the army of the Lord of hosts. Here he is, Jesus. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak tree in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press, if you want to get that picture up, to keep it from the Midianites. This is how bad things were there. Now, I was trying to... Well, this is a picture of a wine press in ancient Israel. There were many styles of them. He was hiding to thresh the grain, so because the Midianites, weren't they? Midianites would come and steal it all. So the wine press, they just show you the rock wall, you know, around that side to open it up, but it went all the way around. And he was in there. Of course, there wouldn't have been grapes in there all the time, obviously, just when they needed it. So that was a safe place to thresh the grain. But with the wine press, just to talk about that for a second, this is where the grapes were all there. And of course, they stomped them out with their feet. That's how they smashed them. And then they had the trough that would run. This was a vat here. There was one down here. It doesn't show up on this picture. And they had things that said they would put in there to filter out the impurities and whatever. So then the juice and the skin, a lot of it would flow into both vats, and it would start to ferment on short order. And then however many days it took, then they had their wine. That's how that worked. So here's Gideon hiding in the wine press, threshing the grain. And Jesus Christ, in his pre-incarnate form, comes and sits down by under the oak tree right by that. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior, mighty man of valor." Gideon would have had all kinds of thoughts going through his head. Partly, too, his own dad, Gideon's dad, was one who, if you'd read all this through, chapter 6 and 7, he had built an altar to Baal, the false god, at their home. So he was involved, Gideon's dad, in this idolatry. Number three, what's Gideon's excuses? Oh, he had them. He had excuses. Letter A, why? He has three questions. First one, why? Verse 13, I'm in Judges 6. "But sir," Gideon said, if we hear that, don't we? "If the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us?" Why could be the $64 million question, I suppose, as we that used to be in a show. Why has all this happened to us? Well, in this case, it's because of their disobedience. Now, every time we fall into a hard place or a hard spot, is it because we did something specifically to bring it on? No, we didn't. We didn't. But in this case, it was. In verse 10, back there in chapter 6, God told the people of Israel, he said, "I am the Lord your God." He reminded them of this. "Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live, but you have not listened to me." So he allowed the Midianites to come in to conquer. That's the first command, right? "I am the Lord your God. Do not worship, or you shall have no other gods before me." First commandment. Then, in Exodus, first commandment. Now with the judges, first commandment on November 7th of 2021. Still the same. No false gods. Yet we're living in a day, and it's always been, every generation, you always got some that want to preach anything goes. Anything goes. Whatever way you want to take to heaven, good for you. No, that is totally against God's word. Don't be buying that stuff, please. My goodness, we ought to know better than that. God says it over and over in his word. You look at it every Sunday with this verse right here, the rest of it anyway. "No one comes to the Father except through me," Jesus said. Why was the first question? The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Why is this happening to us? Letter B is where? Where? Verse 13 going on. Where then? Gideon, he does not realize at this point this is the Lord Jesus Christ here. It's not till later. Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, "Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian." Had God abandoned them? We know that. No, he had not abandoned them. They had abandoned him when they were turning to worship the false gods. They're the ones. But this is usually how it goes. Blaming God. Blaming God. When 9/11 happened, that horrible day to our nation, people, certain ones were saying, "Where's God? Where's God? Why didn't he protect us?" And the best answer I ever heard was Franklin Graham when he came back and he said, "You say, where's God? And you kick him out of school, you've kicked him out of the government and all the government halls, and you don't want his name mentioned at the end of prayers in the military and all of these other areas, and you say, where's God?" Right? How? Letter C, third question, verse 15 of chapter 6, Judges. But Lord, Gideon asked, "How can I save Israel? How can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." In other words, what? I can't do it. It's like when he appeared to Moses. Moses, we looked at all his excuses. Moses' last one was, "Lord, please send somebody else." Right? Gideon's like, I can't. Who am I? I was so bummed that the baptisms didn't happen today, but after I got through that and Salome agreed to sing today and I printed off the words to this song, and I thought, Lord, your timing is perfect, because the words to that song fit so well for this message of Gideon today. This is where he was at, just some of these words. I love that song. "I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough." Most of us have that at some time or another. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. You know where that all comes from, right? Comes from the enemy speaking those lies. Am I more just the sum of every high and low? Remind me once again just of who I am because I need to know. Isn't that phrase cool? Love that. How do you get reminded of who you are? Right here. Right here. And then he says, you say I'm loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I'm strong when I think I'm weak. Gideon, what we're talking about. You say I'm held when I am falling short. And when I don't belong, you say I am yours. Excuse me. So true. So beautiful. What's God's response here? Letter A. God's response, letter A, go, go. We see that other times in Scripture. God does not, a lot of times, listen to I can't and all this and that. He just goes right past it and says, go. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have. See, the problem here was Gideon was looking at himself and his own strength. That we so often do, right? When we say, I can't. I'm just as guilty in many situations. We're looking at our own strength. God says, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? That phrase right there, am I not sending you? He was telling Gideon, look, it's not in your strength. It's not about who you are or who you are not. It's all about who I am in you and what I can do through you. Am I not sending you? Sounds like the Great Commission, really, in a lot of ways, before Jesus ascended into heaven. What did he say? All, say all. Thank you. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Now you go. You go to those disciples, but to every generation, to you. You go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. The last part of the verse is, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That authority, when God was telling Gideon, go, go, I'm sending you. He's given him the authority to do it. Keys represent authority, right? If you have a key to an office, to the house, whatever. Let's say I forgot something from the parsonage on Sunday morning. Now, fortunately, that usually only happens in nightmares that I once in a while have. Like everybody's in church and I'm shuffling through my office and I can't find my sermon notes and everybody's waiting and I'm like, just tell them to start, I can't find it. I have nightmares like that every so often. No. If I said to Trent, on the island in our kitchen is a paper that I was supposed to bring to give to somebody. Now, I'm giving you the key. This is the key to the front door of the house. I want you to go in there and get it. And Trent maybe would say, no, I can't go in your house, Pastor Mike. I can't do that. No, I'm telling you to do it. I know, but I don't feel that I should be in your house. No, Trent, look, I'm giving you this key. Open the front door. Go in and get it, okay? Finally, okay. That's what God's saying. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now you go. I'm giving it to you. He's given us his name to use. Go. That's what he's saying to Gideon. Letter B. I will be with you. Same as the Great Commission. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Verse 16, Judges 6. The Lord answered, I will be with you. And you will strike down all the Midianites together. So he agrees to go. That's number five. He agrees to go. And so he's still thinking in his own strength here. Okay, man, the Midianites, they are a powerful force. And if they get the Amalekites with them, this is going to be tens upon and thousands of an army coming. So he calls up together a bunch of the tribes of Israel. Remember, there were 12 in all. If you read through, we're in chapter 7 now. He calls the tribe of Manasseh, Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali. Those four tribes. And God says, number five, your blank is, you have too many troops. Too many. He gets together an army of 32,000 men. And God says, Judges 7:2, you have too many men for me, God says, to deliver Midian into your hands in order that Israel, here it is, in order that Israel may not boast against me that her own strength has saved her. Announce to the people, these 32,000 troops, if any one of you trembles with fear, you can go back. Anybody remember how many left out of the 32,000? 22,000 of them left. Gideon's probably like, oh, okay, Lord, thank you. That really helped. So he's down to 10,000 men now there. God says, too many, still too many. Take them down to the water, probably a stream. Hope I don't lose my microphone, but I'm going to try to demonstrate. All right, and you see how they drink water out of that stream. If they get down on knees, which that's okay, and they go like a dog and get down, let's say this is the stream. I'm not going any further. I might go over top. And then we could do America's Funniest Home Videos, right? Count how many do that, just, and how many do this, where they're still watching. Only 300 of them did this. God says, those are the ones I want. The rest, 9,700 of them, tell them, go home. Oh, man. God was going to show his power, and he did. There's struggles of life all the time. Not going to give names, but my goodness, I can think easily of a few in this congregation right now where the load just gets more than what a person thinks they can handle. And you've been there at different times. You all have, because that is part of life. And we get so focused on the situation, and it's easy to do because that's what you're seeing. And we have to keep being reminded to get our eyes back on God and the strength that he gives. And the baptism, you know, Kylie and Tyler have been through so much with little Oliver. Here he's, I think, about 8 months old or so, and a lot of health struggles. And so looking forward to today, and hopefully next week it'll happen. It's not his issue why they're not here today. But they've gone through it. Many others have. Many others are. The Apostle Paul spoke about it. 2 Corinthians 12. This is the meditation. I'm not going to read all that either. But he talks about the thorn in the flesh that he had. The messenger from Satan. And he pleaded for the Lord to take that from him. And what was God's answer? My grace. Paul, my grace is sufficient. Sufficient means more than enough. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power, God says, is made perfect in weakness. And the ending verse says, Paul is saying, for when I am weak, then I am strong. How does that work? Really, it's Paul saying, when I realize my own strength is not enough, it is weak compared to him. When I'm weak and I realize it in myself, then I'm strong, because then I rely on him and his power within me. And so, you know, God gave the victory to Gideon and those 300 men, an amazing victory. And the last part I just have to mention for the Zabes in the sanctuary this morning. I know Carl's waiting for it. The two of the captains of the Midianites were guys called Oreb and Zeb. Yeah, last part of chapter 7, you can read it. They captured him. It says they killed Oreb at the rock of Oreb, and they killed Zeb at the winepress of Zeb. Sorry about that, Carl. But your name's in the Bible, right? So God bless you. That's pretty cool, I think. Last statement here. Your weakness in any situation is never a problem for God. Let me say it again. Your weakness in any situation is never a problem for God, although your strength might be. What's that say when you think, oh, I can handle this? Yeah? When you trust in your own strength instead of God, you are not exercising faith. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Oh, these are such amazing examples. They encourage our hearts, Lord. And for those that are in a very difficult place right now, I pray especially that they realize that you are with them, you have not forsaken them, and you are at work in this situation, and you are providing a way through it because you promise that you will. Help our faith to grow strong every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So our closing hymn is what? Thank you. It is well with my soul. We love this hymn. Let's stand together. Let's sing it out. Play it loud, Cindy, okay?
Whatever my lot, thou hast sworn.
that don't light your fire, then your wood's wet. How about that? Please receive the benediction. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. And we will sing, as we always do, a prayer for our nation. God bless America. You may be seated. Thank you, Cindy, for the beautiful music today. Salome also. Prayer service at 10, so I don't know, half hour at 2 o'clock. Half hour, 40 minutes, I suppose, if you can come.